Hi, and welcome to Walton Conversations. My name is Dee Dee Harris, and I will be your host for this episode. In case you didn't know, there is a mayoral race happening in the city of Monroe, along with some city council members as well. The purpose of this podcast is to encourage everyone not only to vote, but cast an educated vote in this upcoming election. Voting local is vital. A national vote is a pebble in the ocean, whereas a local vote is a boulder in a lake. Make your opinion mean something in the real world, not just the digital world. Early voting starting October 12th. The last day to vote is November 2nd. Today's conversation is with Emilio Kelly, mayoral candidate for the city of Monroe. I sat down with Emilio a few weeks ago to discuss his run for mayor and his thoughts on the historic nature of this race. I hope you find this episode informative and educational. Enjoy. Very excited to be here with a mayoral candidate for the city of Monroe, Emilio Kelly.
Hi. Hi, everyone listening.
So Emilio is probably familiar to a lot of people because, as he's going to share with us, he grew up around here. Emilio, tell us a little bit about your background, the fact of growing up here, and that kind of thing, and professionally as well. What do you do?
Thank you. Thank you, Dee Dee, for this opportunity. So a little bit about me. Again, my name is Emilio Kelly, and, you know, I am from Monroe, born and raised here, went to school from K through 12 here, and just been here all of my life until I went off to undergrad, where I went to Benedict College in Columbia, South Carolina, and I obtained my bachelor's degree in management with a concentration in marketing. So I've been here in Monroe for pretty much all of my life, hanging back home because I knew that there was something here for me to do. I thought I was coming back to start up my uncle's, Mr. Hector, that is my uncle, and he had this program way before the Boys and Girls Club or any other program here in Monroe. He had this program called 101 program. And pretty much if anybody that came through that program, they understand the relationship building, the how tentative he was when it comes down to the young people and their academics and just, you know, fostering relationships with the kids and their parents and, you know, giving them a broader horizon of what life is outside of Monroe. So he would take us and the kids around the city. He was not limited to, you know, a particular race or anything. Right. It was all kids because, of course, he was a lifelong educator.
Yeah, I was going to say that probably some people can say, I had Mr. Hector in class and boy, was he straight.
Yes, yes, yes. And so, you know, I thought I was going to come back home to revitalize that program, but I was like, okay, well, what is my purpose?
Right.
What am I here for? And we'll talk about that later on down the line. But yeah, to give you background about me, you know, like I said, born and raised here, went to school here. I'm a family man. I'm very big on family, very big on, you know, helping the community. That's a little about me. And on a professional level, I am a finance guy.
Oh. And that's always good.
Yeah.
In governmental situations.
Right.
Because you look at what's going on in Congress right now.
Exactly. And you need to be able to understand basic financial information in government. And when we talk about government, that's one of the things. I am in government. And I've been in government. So, you know, Mookie Moose is not my job. I work for the city of Atlanta, where I head up the budget for the largest water, sewer, and reclamation division.
Wow.
For the state of Georgia. Let me say that again.
Wow.
I head up, monitor, and manage the largest budget for the state of Georgia as it relates to water, sewer, and the reclamation division for the city of Atlanta. So I'm coming to you with not only the finance side, but I'm also coming to you with knowledge on water reclamation and sewer division.
Which is a huge topic in Walton County right now.
Which is something that we're getting ready to, here in Walton County, specifically Monroe, we're getting ready to tackle a new wastewater plant, you know.
Right.
So that was going to play, that's going to be a big thing that hopefully I'll be able to play a big role in.
Right.
Outside of, you know, on the committees that I serve on it, with the City of Atlanta, I serve on the planning committee. I serve on the public safety committee, transportation committee. And one of the biggest topics that we have here that I serve on in the City of Atlanta, which is the Affordable Housing Committee.
Okay.
So
now, are those committees appointed by? Are you appointed to those committees by
yes,
the mayor?
You're appointed actually by the committee chair.
Right.
So I'm coming to you guys with a vast of knowledge and understanding of some of the issues that we are facing here in Monroe.
And more experience possibly than what your age would give you credit for. Is that right?
Yes. Once again, you know, I'm running the largest budget in the state of Georgia as it relates to water, sewer, and reclamation division. Plants.
Wow.
Yep.
All right. So, Amelia, tell us one thing that you were talking to me about before we started recording, which I just thought was a neat story, was how you got the key to Monroe High School.
My Carver Middle School days, when we had this program, it was a shadow day program that you would go and shadow your profession or something that you wanted to do later on down the line. And my thing was, I always wanted to be a principal. That was one of the things that I wanted to do. So, you know, I would shadow Coach Kemp over at the Monroe Area High School. And, you know, I would shadow him and see the day-to-day operations that he would perform. And I'm like, okay, you know, this is interesting. And then so moving on from Coach Kemp, who, you know, pretty much groomed me up under him, and we moved on to the new high school up under the leadership of Dr. Seabrook Royal, who's a mentor to me as well. And, you know, he actually groomed me if I was going straight out of high school, straight into a principal position.
Right.
So one of the things nobody never knew. And as I think about the story now, I can't even really remember how I got the key to the school. I just know that I was the only student during my tenure there that had a key to the school.
And
I
maybe the only student ever.
Ever. Ever.
Had a key to the school.
Yes. And so, you know, one of the things I would do is I would get to the school early, unlock the school, walk the school, turn on the lights. And, you know, the teachers and even Dr. Royer, they would find that pretty hilarious. Like, this guy is really, you know, walking in the capacity of an administrator to, you know, monitor the halls. Right. And, you know, all of my classmates, they will tell you, this is what I did. All of the teachers during my era, my time at Monroe Area High School, they will tell you, this is a
actual student administrator.
Yes. I would do the morning announcement, the afternoon announcement, you know, anything that you would think about an administrator doing, I would do it. I had a badge that you would have thought, he's a real administrator.
And I guess we should also say that you there's no story out there or history of you abusing having a key to the school or anything. It was all about you getting there early and getting everything prepared for everyone.
Exactly.
Which is even more amazing than having the key to the school. So, in talking about that, that leads me kind of to my next thought. We have always had an issue of being able to keep our youth in Monroe, Walton County. So why did you return to Monroe? I mean, we kind of talked about that a little bit. You felt like there was a calling back here.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife, where is she from? She's not from here.
No, she's from Philadelphia.
Okay. Well, did she say, what? Where are you bringing me?
She was like, are you serious? We're going back to where? I said, we're going back to Monroe. She was like, you're fit to take a city girl back to a small town? Yes. And she would never, she never understood. Even when we did relocate back here, there's something that I do. I ride this city faithfully every day.
Right.
Nobody tells me to do it. Nobody pays me
it's
to do
like
it.
Kind of like the key to the school.
Right. I want to stay in the know of what goes on here.
Right.
And, you know, people in the community, they will tell you, this is factual. This is what he does. And so, you know, I tried to take her on some of my rides. And, you know, after a week-long ride around the city, you know, and people stopping me, hey, how you doing? Who's that young lady on the passenger side? You know, I guess she got enough of, okay, this is really something that you do. I understand now. I'm not going back out on any rides with you no more. yeah, so, yeah.
So that it says a lot about her and y'all's relationship that she was trusting you enough to come back, and we're glad that she's here because yes. Mookie Moos wouldn't be here if
right,
she wasn't here.
Right.
So we're very happy
right.
that y'all did come. So why do you think that youth do tend to leave? I mean, obviously you went away to school and you were still at a younger age when you moved back, but what do you think keeps our youth from wanting to come back home?
Well, I talk to many of my classmates, many individuals who go off to school and don't return. And everybody's answer is consistent. And that answer is, what is there for me to do?
Okay.
And that is a problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can say that we have good paying jobs that are coming into Monroe and things of that nature. But what is it really here for? People in my age bracket. Mm-hmm. What is here for us to do?
To make a career. Especially right. a professional career.
Yeah, and especially something that you've went off to school and, you know, either got in debt to pay for these student loans and all of that. And you want to come back here, but am I going to be able to utilize my degree
right.
when I come back? Am I going to be able to come back and be involved in a career that, you know, I went to school for, and I just don't think that we're there yet.
Right.
Now, one thing that I will say is that, you know, in my time of being at the old Monroe Area High School, we had a career academy, and we had not only a career academy, but we had electives that if you didn't go to college, you had things in a technical field like HVAC, plumbing, different things of that nature that you can get a trade in and you can actually stay here.
Right.
But those are the things that we had in my time of going to Monroe Area and some of the programs that, you know, kept some of my classmates here because they were able to pick up a trade in high school and not have to go off to college. But those of us that go off to college, everybody asks questions and answer is the same, you know.
Limited professional experience. I mean, a bit opportunity.
Yep.
I see. So tell us just briefly, because I know there's probably a lot of reasons, but why do you want to be mayor?
That's a good question. Why do I want to be mayor? I would say, you know, I want to be mayor because I know Monroe is on the rise, and it's on the rise, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. But is it on the rise that includes everyone? So when I look at that, you know, I look at it from a standpoint, you know, we need fresh, innovative minds, here. We need a new approach to the city. And, you know, one of the things that I go back and say, you know, I'm a firm believer that, you're either on the table or you're on the menu. And far too long, you know, Monroe has been on the menu. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we need a mayor who is going to, the community is going to have trust in to faithfully represent the whole community, right. the whole Monroe, to where we can then be a one Monroe versus saying, you know, we have a mayor, but they're only benefiting a certain population.
Right.
And, you know, I just think that I'm in a place with the community. With those who are going to be receptive of me. I think I'm in a place where they do trust me enough to say, you know, he's been where we are now.
Right.
And so I know that, you know, as he continues to climb up the ladder, he won't forget about those ones who are not where he yet. But he will still, you know, be for a one Monroe. Because right. that's one of the slogans that I'm really pushing. One Monroe plus our Monroe equals Monroe strong. And so, you know, even when you're looking at that, I just think that I'm that candidate right. for such a time as this.
Well, let me ask you, what are, and this is kind of putting you on the spot a little bit, but what do you have any particular strategies that could address that in the way that you see it, becoming one Monroe plus our Monroe?
Well, you know, I have strategies all day. Because I am a Lean Six Sigma mm-hmm. Certified. So with Lean Six...
What is that?
Lean Six Sigma... I'm going to say Six Sigma Certified is, you know, we're specialized in processes and procedures.
Okay.
So all day long, you know, I think
I
about...
I might have to Google that later.
I think about different processes and different strategies to bring for the betterment of for one. And so even though I have strategies, I think being in this position, it's all about shared strategies. Mm-hmm. How can we sit everybody down at the table to share the vision and or the strategies of how we make it, how we come back to a one Monroe. So once again, like I said, I have strategies, right. But I think in bridging the gap and bringing us back to a one Monroe, it's going to have to be a shared strategy amongst all the elected officials, and with the input of the community as it relates to how do we come back together as one.
Right. So what do you think of what's going on in downtown Monroe? What do you think of Monroe DDA?
Good question, and I'm glad you asked me that. So when I think of the DDA, I think of they've done a phenomenal job. That division of the city has done a phenomenal job. One of the things I do want to address is that by no means have I, Emilio Kelly, have ever said out of my mouth that I have a problem with the DDA, or am I going to abolish the DDA. Once again, I come from government. I work in government, and I do understand that the DDA is a government entity that is grant funded, that it's a necessity to the cities.
Right.
And so I understand that. That is nothing that, you know, I'm against or anything. I give my hats off to that division for the attractions that they're bringing into downtown Monroe, the businesses that they're bringing in. But let's look at it, perception versus reality. Let's use a prime example, the First Friday concert. The DDA, they sponsor those First Friday concerts. Who are those concerts geared towards? I mean, perception versus reality. Right. Who are those concerts geared towards? And if we really want to be a diverse city, mm-hmm. and if we want to be a one Monroe, then we have to look at how we can bring, you know, different concert people to the downtown green space that's going to benefit both, you know, both populations.
Right.
And
do you have some thoughts, again, putting you on the spot, do you have some thoughts about the downtown concerts, how you think that they could be more representative of the entire city?
Well, I mean, you know, I have plenty of thoughts on that. One thing I was thinking about is, you know, that maybe one First Friday, we can cater it towards the older population, mm-hmm. but it's still being inclusive. Another Friday, First Friday, we can cater it strictly to the kids, because there are a lot of kids that are out there. Mm-hmm. And the music that is playing, the bands that are coming, those kids don't have no clue what's going on or who those bands are up there. So even when you look at that, we have to cater to all of the population here and not just to a certain group of people. You know, we just got to do things out of the box. What we wouldn't normally do, we have to start, you know, thinking outside of the box. And we have to get people sitting down at the table that, you know, not just from my generation, not just from your generation, but all generations.
And looking towards your idea of a one Monroe.
Yep.
For sure. So in thinking about that and talking about that, you know, this is a historical race. I'm sure that that's not lost on you
at all.
And the fact that you are the first African-American mayoral candidate
for
the city of Monroe. And I believe, at least in a generation, you're the youngest candidate. What are your thoughts on that? Do you feel pressured by that? Do you feel excited by that? What are your thoughts on that?
Both. And let me speak to the pressure part. The pressure part is because I'm not sure whether some of the citizens or a certain population feel that, okay, well, you're the youngest. Not only are you the youngest, but you're a black male. What do you have to offer? So there are certain questions that, you know, a certain population are asking of me that they didn't do to our current mayor.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'm very observing in those types of things as well. And, you know, they're asking, well, what is your strategy? What are your vision? What do you see us economically 10 years down the road? They didn't ask those questions to Mayor Howard or Mayor Thompson during their time of, you know, running for mayor.
Right.
So why would you guys put the pressure on me? Don't forget, I do come with a vast of knowledge and experience just coming out of a big city such as Atlanta. So that is no issue. I'm all about shared vision. Mm-hmm. So even though I may have a vision for the city, it still have to be one of those things that have to be brought in.
Right.
Not only brought by the community, but it has to be something that I can share amongst the whole council and listen at their, get their input. And then ultimately we have to get the buy-in from the community in which we've, you know, been elected to serve. I think that's where we're getting, you know, getting mixed up at, you know, we're forgetting that we are elected to serve the community. Mm-hmm. So when we're elected to serve the community, we have to get the buy-in from those individuals that elected us into these positions. And I think that's where we're not getting the buy-in from the whole of the community. We're getting a buy-in from, you know, certain individuals within the community. So it is pressure, but it's nothing that, you know, I wasn't built for.
Gotcha.
And what was the second
part? Well, it was the age. Or just, you know, the thought too. I think that people, not only is it historical because you're the first African-American, but also the youngest. And I think, what if people are concerned about your experience to lead or your leadership skills? Oh, obviously, you come with a vast knowledge and experience already, probably more so than a lot of people your age.
Yes.
So that's actually something to be celebrated and very proud of from what you've been able to accomplish at your age.
Yep. And even though this is a historical moment, I must say to our listeners, it's not about me. Mm-hmm. It's about the generation that's coming up behind me. And I really want our listeners to really understand that even though this is a historical moment, it's not about me. We have to look at the generations that are coming up. You know, you have those individuals who run for elected official positions all the time. And, you know, they're older. Right. You know, things are changing daily. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think I'm right there in the middle of, you know, with the wisdom and the knowledge that I've been able to obtain, I'm able to sit at the table with those that are older than me. But I'm also able to be relatable mm-hmm. to those that are younger than me, those that are coming up behind me, and those that are in the same age bracket with me. So I know some of the things that, you know, that we want to see happen around here. I know that there are individuals that are in my age bracket that want to feel valued here, that want to be included in some of the decision making.
Well, and often you can look locally as well as nationally, and often, you know, politicians are much older.
Yep.
And I do, obviously that's changing too, because you look at Congress and the number of younger elected Congress people from this past election or whatever, and obviously that's going to have a trickle-down effect as well.
Yes.
One of the things I wanted to ask you was, what are your thoughts on, you know, political rivals? One of the things that obviously everyone knows about, whether it is locally or nationally or anywhere in between, people have kind of lost the ability to compromise with one another.
Yes.
And it's almost like, if you don't agree with me politically, then you're my enemy. So I can't work with you. Can you speak to any ideas that you have in regards to someone that you might sit on the opposite side of an issue with, but do they have to be your enemy?
No, I might not be received by you, or because I might not sit on the same side of the table as you, or we share the same viewpoints. At the end of the day, we got to move past that and figure out how can we come together for the betterment of the city? How can we come together and to provide and bring a solution to our everyday issues that our residents here in Monroe are facing?
Right.
And that's the direction that we should be going, not the direction of some of the things that I'm seeing on social media and, you know, things that I'm hearing from certain individuals. You know, that's neither here or there. I think that, you know, we just, it's a mindset.
Right.
And we just got to have a mindset to say, hey, you know, at the end of the day, it's not about, you know, whether I like Emilio or whether, you know, I think Emilio is not the perfect fit for the job. At the end of the day, it's about bringing solutions, bringing results to the table that's going to benefit the community as a whole.
Right. Do you think that there's a racial divide in our community?
Yes, that's a no-brainer. Not only that it's a racial divide here, I think over a course of maybe within the last 4 years, I will also, you know, stand out on the limb, and I know I'm not by myself based upon, you know, me campaigning and me knocking on doors. I think there's also an economic issue as well. Mm-hmm. If you make a certain amount, then you fit in the upper class. Okay. Individuals, or if you don't make a certain amount, then hey, automatically you're pushed this way, and you know, you really don't matter. And so I think now, more so than ever, that is the issue that we're facing here in Monroe, an economic divided issue.
Okay. And that, of course, reaches across racial divide.
Yep.
So I asked Mayor Howard when I interviewed him this question as well, and he told me I was not using the proper term. So the question was, what do you say to people if they're concerned about gentrification of downtown Monroe? He felt like that wasn't the proper term because gentrification has typically been used when people are being pushed out of their homes because they can't afford the taxes. Thoughts on how do we keep our diversity, which is one of the things that makes Monroe such a great place to be.
Right.
But how do we keep that in downtown Monroe? Or what are your thoughts on that?
So my thoughts on that is that, you know, regardless of whether we're using the wrong term or not, once again, perception is perception versus reality. And when you think about gentrification, especially when you go into these different communities and different neighborhoods, when you talk about gentrification, the first thing that your citizens are going to respond to, yeah, they're pushing me out. So when you talk about it, that's the first thing that they think about. But also, gentrification also is a form of revitalizing those things that may have been dormant, mm-hmm. Things that may have been at a standstill that need revitalizing. So I understand that there are some historical homes and things of that nature that is around downtown Monroe that needed to be revitalized. However, when you start going into these particular neighborhoods, and you begin to do that, let's say prime example over on David Street, when you revitalize whatever parts of David Street that you guys are going to revitalize, you have to also understand the impact that it's going to make on those individuals who's been there all of their lives. Even I've been here for 31 years. And some of those same individuals that are in those homes over there have been there ever since I can remember. Mm-hmm. And so when you start to revitalize areas, then you got to understand like the Bakers and other individuals that's been over there, their property tax are going to go up. A lot of those individuals over there are on a fixed income. Right. So when you start to put these $150,000, $200,000 homes in these areas that these individuals have been in for so long, then you start to move them away from their fixed income, what they're able to afford. And that's where we say the whole displacement comes from. Mm-hmm. You have to look at it from, okay, these are areas that we want to revitalize. When you look at those areas, make sure that you have a solution.
Right.
We don't want to displace anybody. We don't want to kick anybody out of the city of Monroe, but we want to, you know, revitalize and bring these different apartment homes and or complexes, bring them up to speed to where we're trying to go in here in the city. But once again, we want to have solutions when we go in and revitalize.
So tell me, let's switch gears a little bit. And I wanted to ask you what your thoughts on term limits were.
I think, I really think that there should be term limits. And why I say that is because over a course of time, you start to see that once you've sat in the seat for so long, you start to see that you don't produce.
Right.
And we've seen that. You just don't produce. And when you stop producing, then you start riding the wave of the platform and riding the waves of whatever benefits that you can get out of it. So I do think that there should be term limits. And I think...
Do you think that goes for mayor as well as city
council? Yes. And I think, you know, as an individual, you even if there are not term limits, you should know and or have the enough respect for those that you serve. You should have enough respect to say, hey, you know, I understand, you know, I put all I can put into this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's time for me to give up my ring, give up my seat, and allow somebody else who's going to come in with fresh ideas, you know, innovative ideas, and, you know, let them have a seat or give them a shot at it or let them go out and, you know, run for office. But I do think that there should be a term limit, because what we see here in Monroe is that we will occupy a seat till we no longer could occupy a seat, or we'll occupy a seat until, you know, you have different individuals that want to put you in, you know, put together a committee to say, hey, well, we need you to run against this individual because this individual has been occupying this seat for far too long. So, right. You know, I do think that there should be a term limit.
Okay. Tell us about a little bit about your thoughts on crime control in downtown Monroe. I will say, statistically speaking, the crime has been declining in downtown Monroe. We don't have 2020 numbers. Now, we know that 2020 crime was up all over the country.
Right.
So Monroe does not exist in a bubble. It's possible that our crime rate could be up. We haven't seen those numbers yet because you know how statistics are. But it has been declining. However, on the most recent list, on the website of alarms.org, which is also the link that the city puts up on their website, we're in the top, I guess, 60. I think there's 62 cities listed there. So we're in the top as what they're saying safest cities are. However, our place on that list is less safe than the city of Atlanta. Is that surprising to you?
No, not at all.
So what, any thoughts on that, or what, any thoughts on, we too obviously have a shortage of law enforcement as well. There's a lot of people who don't want to be in law enforcement now.
And that plays a part. I think the biggest thing is that if we, of course, once again, we know that we are short staffed with our law enforcement, but I think if we can get the mentality of what community policing is. And community policing is defined as a philosophy that promotes organizational strategies which supports the systematic use of partnerships and problem-solving techniques to proactively address the immediate condition that give rise to public safety, which is the number one issue, which is crime. Mm-hmm. So if we can address, or if we can get back to community policing, then it will give us some type of strategies and support to be able to face the rising challenges which across the nation, which is crime.
Right.
And one thing I say is that I give my hats off to Chief Glass. We might don't disagree with everything or agree with everything that he did. Mm-hmm. One thing that I, as an individual, can say is that he was big on community policing. And so you have some of those officers who are still here with us, who was up under his leadership, that still shows that piece of what he was big on, that piece of leadership, which is community policing. Mm-hmm. You have some of those officers that still, you know, plays a big part in the communities. However, you know, we have some officers that have the mindset of, when I jump in my car and when I'm dispatched to certain locations, I have the mindset to first arrest, not even to assess the situation, but arrest. Mm-hmm. And if we can get back to fostering and building relationships with our communities in which we serve, in which we are to protect and to serve, then I think that we can get a better grip on, you know, crime that we are faced with here in the city of Monroe.
Any particular thoughts on our new shopping center? Glad, obviously, that's not coming into downtown Monroe.
Right, because we're already... Traffic is already.
And that's one of the thoughts. So maybe you can kind of address thinking about an Emilio Kelly's vision of Monroe. Would we see more of these type of developments around Monroe or in Monroe? So
I think once again, I give my hats off to the council and those individuals who played a part with bringing this development here. So let me echo that again. I give my hats off to those individuals that have brought this new development here.
Which I believe it's Monroe Pavilion, isn't that
yes,
correct?
Yes. So with that, I think we also had to look at it from a standpoint of, even though you had some citizens that are thrilled about this new development, I'm thrilled about it as well. But did we really give thought behind, okay, the traffic that is going to cause out there in that area, as well as it's on the same side of the school, which already has a traffic problem. So one of the things that I'm real concerned with is that, did we think about the traffic that's going to be out there in that area? Also, did we think about, we're already short staffed in with law enforcement. So bringing this new development in, how are we going to really protect and serve that new development, and we're already short staffed with law enforcement? So that's another area. Once again, I'm very excited.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited because it gives us a new outlook of, you know, stores that we had to go outside of Monroe. Right. You know, we can now, you know, keep that money here in the city. But, you know, I'm still a bit concerned as it relates to traffic.
And that is one of my questions too, just your thoughts on, do you think we have a traffic problem in downtown Monroe? And do we have a parking problem in downtown Monroe?
We do have traffic in a traffic problem downtown Monroe. If on some of the weekends that it can be just like plumb busy downtown Monroe. And then you hear the fire station, they get dispatched. I'm always concerned about that because one, there's a lag time that I know to be for sure that they're going to lag in because they now have to maneuver. Our roads are not wide enough for cars that may be at the red light to just actually go over. So now the firefighters have to maneuver their way out, which creates a lag time to get to whatever the situation that they've been dispatched to. So yes, we have a traffic problem downtown Monroe. Yes, we have a parking issue. And one of the things that I would like to see is that I would like to see a parking deck get built here in the city, especially downtown, especially because we're growing.
Right.
And we're growing overnight. It's not one of those things where we're pacing ourselves. No. So now, because it's here, we have to know how to contain it. And so one of the things that, when you said the Emilio vision, I would like to see a parking deck here. And I would like to see it be on the outside of City Hall where our guests, and the visitors and those individuals that go to the City Hall. I would like to see it in that area. Let's uproot. I mean, it don't have to be this huge parking garage.
Right.
It's going to be enough to accommodate all of the traffic and all of the parking chaos that we have going on downtown Monroe. So that's one of the things that I will be pushing for.
A parking deck. Well, Emilio, in our kind of closing, I just wanted to know, is there anything that you want people to know about you and why they should give you their vote that we haven't covered already?
And once again, you know, I can't stress this enough, is that this is nothing new to me. City government is not new to me. And some of the issues that we face here in Monroe is not new to me. I'm coming in with a vast of knowledge, a vast of understanding of some of the things that we are facing here. Also, I'm coming in with the mindset to want to work together collectively as a unit to be able to solve the issues that our community, our citizens are faced with on a day-to-day issues. I understand the whole new development out there at the Monroe Pavilion. That is great for those of us who wanted to see a broader horizon of stores and a new grocery store here. All of that is great. But are we really focusing in on those issues that our citizens face on a day-to-day living? Right. Are we really focused on those issues? And I don't think we are. So one of the things, you know, with me coming in as a young, innovative change agent, game changer, I'm coming in with really understanding those issues that our citizens are faced. Why? Because I've been there.
Okay.
Nothing has been on a silver platter for me. Mm-hmm. I've been where our citizens who are on the outskirts of downtown Monroe, I've lived in some of these areas, so I understand what they're facing. So it is about the citizens that we serve. I'm not coming to you as a perfect candidate. let me put that disclaimer out there. I'm not coming to you as a perfect candidate. I'm coming to you with the ability to make tough decisions. You got to be able to make tough decisions that might not be likable by everybody in the community. But guess what? At the end of the day, you have to be okay with the decisions that you made. At the end of the day, I have to go home with my wife and my two beautiful baby girls and be able to go to sleep at night, knowing in my heart and my conscience at peace, knowing that I've done everything in my power to serve 14,013 people here in this community. Once again, I respectfully ask for your vote on November the 2nd, Election Day. I am your candidate, Emilio Kelly.
Thank you so much, Emilio. I really appreciate you giving us this time today and sharing with us your honesty about these issues. Thank you for being here on Walton Conversations.